We're learning Rav Chalap on Chanukah. And last week we learned that on Chanukah, every Jew is uplifted. We all light a menorah in our own home. And Rav Chalap explained that every one of us becomes a Kohen on Chanukah. If all year long, only the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash are entitled to light the menorah, on Chanukah, every Jew in his home lights a menorah. And so the whole world gets uplifted on Chanukah. And the glory of Hashem's miracle gives light in every crevice, to the point that we have a tradition that very righteous people could look into the flame of the Chanukah candles and understand what's happening throughout the world for the rest of the year. Understand everything that's going to play itself out, because the Chanukah candles represent the revelation of Hashem's light in the world. Rav Chalap then went on to discuss the concept that when we light the candles of Chanukah, or the flame of Chanukah, we have this mitzvah of holding our candle by the wick long enough until the flame will catch and light on its own. By the same token, Chanukah is an enlightenment period for the Jewish people. The Jewish soul gets uplifted, and it's supposed to get kindled to the degree that the rest of the year will stay lit from the upliftment of Chanukah. The flip side of it is that the halacha says, Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Our responsibility on Chanukah is to light the candles in a way that they're going to stay lit. What happens if a minute later your five-year-old comes and he thinks it's very cute, he opens the window and the Chanukah candles go out? You don't have to relight them. What happens if you lit them well and then something happened and your Chanukah candles went out? So, hadlaka osa mitzvah and kaveta in zakukla. If the Chanukah candles go out somehow, you have no responsibility for it. When we light the Chanukah candles, that, says Rav Chalap, is the concept we're taught in the Gemara, that we have to open an opening like the eye of a needle. Hashem says, you just start the process and I'll help you grow it. And so Chanukah is the opening of that upliftment of the Jew, and the rest of the year is the realization of the continuation of the upliftment of a Jew. This is all things that we saw last week. Now we move on. On Chanukah, we take things that are called reshut. We take things that are technically in the realm of permissibility. There are things which you can do, you could not do. It's up to you. Torah doesn't define every single thing. Is it a mitzvah or not? Do I have to have a cup of coffee this morning, or should I drink water? You could drink this, you could drink that. There are areas that we call their reshut. It's permissibility. It's not one way or the other. And on Chanukah, we say, I'm not just living a life where I just do what I'm allowed to do. I'm going to try to do everything I can do. I'm going to take it as my responsibility to be as positive as I can. And that's why in Chanukah, where we show that desire, I'm not looking for the limits. Tell me what's permissible. At which minute is Shabbos out that I could turn on the light? At which minute do I have to stop doing work before Shabbos? That's not the way I live my life. I want to accept Shabbos as early as I can. I want to end Shabbos as late as I can. We take things as our approach is, I'm not just looking for the boundaries. Well, what's already permissible? No, I want to do more. And that's why Chanukah, that represents that, Chanukah has the concept of Hidur. What is Hidur? Hidur says, I want to do more. Let me make it beautiful. I'm not just buying a gift. I'm going to gift wrap it. I'm not just going to gift wrap it. I'm going to write a nice note on it. I'm not just walking into shul to daven. I'm going to walk 10 minutes early. I'm not just walking in to do my dues. I'm going to stay another 5 minutes and learn something with my tefillin before I run out. I'm not just benching after I eat. I'm going to sit down and take out a bencher and be focused. There's a concept of, did I do my dues? And there's a concept of, I want to do much more. Now, this is true in our relationships. It's true in everything we do. One of the things we learn from Yaakov Avinu in our parsha and from Yosef HaTzadik in 2 weeks from now is how the patriarchs always did above and beyond. They always did more than they had to. You know, a guy goes to get himself a cup of hot water. What would be the big deal if he'd bring another one for someone else? Take him another minute? Big deal. You know, there are yeshivas where no one fills their own cup to wash their hands because everyone fills for the guy after him. No one fills their own cup. There are yeshivas where it's hard to find a line when you come to the lunchroom when it's time for lunch because no one wants to be first. Everyone wants to make sure other people get what they issued. So they come a little later. The concept. I don't know it to anyone. I don't have to do it. I don't have to. I don't know it. But Mehantrin, let me see how I can do it. And that's the concept of Chanukah. We have Mehadrin, we have Mehadrin, Mina Mehadrin. And you'll notice that everyone in Israel does Mehadrin. Did you ever see someone light one candle on Hanukkah every night? Never seen that, right? Why? Everyone says, I want to do it. And you even ask people, everyone thinks that's what I have to do. Because that's what we're doing on Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, we're saying the theme of Hanukkah is, it's not about my doing the minimum. It's about my doing above and beyond what I have to do. And that, says Rav Charlap, is Pirsumei Nisa. What am I showing? I'm showing that we love the mitzvos. It's not just I can do something. No, if I can do it more, I'm going to do it more. My Pirsumei Nisa includes an aspect of I'm showing that I love this. I'm not just I have to do it. When we do the mitzvah of lighting the candles of Chanukah, we are revealing inner strengths that we have. All year long, you know, I still remember a friend of the family's, when he used to put on his tefillin, I think it's a Chabad minhag, they kiss their tefillin a number of times. Every time they put them on and take them off. And I remember standing in shul in shock. Like, the guy is kissing them for like 10 seconds straight before he puts them on, and 10 seconds straight before he takes them off. And it just blew me away. So the guy next to me says to me, it's a minhag. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's a minhag. They kiss their tefillin a lot before they put them on, and they kiss their tefillin a lot before they put them away. Until today, I think, buddy, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. What do you mean it's a minhag? It's an amazing thing. Whether the guy always remembers what he's doing or not, you know, it's a phenomenal thing. On Hanukkah, what we're doing is we're saying, I have these strengths within me. I have the desire to do above and beyond. And here on Hanukkah, it's going to I'm going to express it. Hashem has a light. Hashem's light is really a light that penetrates everything. But we don't always see it. When a miracle happens, we recognize, oh, Hashem was here. It's not that Hashem wasn't here beforehand. The miracle is an eye-opener for us. It's a revelation. Hashem shined His light on us. What are we doing when we have the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa? Advertise the miracle. We're saying that this is an enlightenment. Be aware. Hashem did this. Hashem is here today also. Here's a moment where Hashem said to us, take note, my kids, I'm with you. There are moments like that where Hashem says, hi, I'm here. Let me show you that I'm here. So those moments are supposed to shine on the rest of life. And so, says Rav Charlap, if you think there are going to be future miracles, you have to realize that those miracles all connect back to Hanukkah. I don't think there's anyone that disagrees that there were miracles in the forming of the state of Israel. Miracles in the Six-Day War, miracles in the War of Independence, miracles in the Yom Kippur War. We've had so many miracles. People sometimes think that it's a political thing, that only if you're Zionistic do you say that these were miracles. It's not true. Everyone agrees. If you read the response of everyone saying so, we've had open miracles here. Says Rav Charlap, you should know that the future miracles of the Jewish people all stem from Hanukkah. And that's so easy for us to connect to. We don't have a written record, an official written record of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, so the Gemara mentions it here, and some people put together a text, which we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, learn in a week or two, called Megillat Hashmonaim, but there's no official rabbinic text about Hanukkah. Says Rav Chalap, he's about to say a concept which needs a lot of explanation. I'll start with the concept, with what he's saying, and then we'll add the explanation. He says, when it comes to Hanukkah, so there's more on the blank piece of paper than there is on the written piece of paper. In other words, when we speak about writing in Talmud and in Jewish thought, we view writing as having two components. There's the white part of the paper, and there's the black part of the paper. If you didn't have white, then the black wouldn't be a letter. The only reason you see black written on a parchment is because there's the white and the black. And those of you who were here in the beginning of our learning today, remember, and I was debating as we were learning it, whether we should expand on it, that the Rabbeinu Yonah said that the first Torah that was written black fire on white fire. Why do you need black fire on white fire? Because there are two components. The Gemara says there's holiness to the text of the Torah. There's holiness to the white parchment around the text of the Torah. You don't just have to treat the written part as holy. So we view it as there's what's written on the line and there's what's written between the lines. And what's written between the lines also has a message. It's not just a question of what does the text say. We discussed earlier today that every letter has a certain Kabbalistic strength. Every letter has a representation in this world. Well, the blank part of the letter also has a strength. The white part of the parchment also represents something with each letter. And so Rav Harlap writes that when it comes to Hanukkah, more than what's written on the black part of the parchment is written on the white part of the parchment. Because there are components of that miracle that they didn't even realize. There were the components they saw, and then there were the components they didn't see. And the components they didn't see are by far greater than the things they did see. On Hanukkah, we celebrate the miracle of Hanukkah, but we only celebrate certain aspects we know about. There was so much more we do not know about. And Rav Chalap says Hanukkah was a turning point. Hanukkah was like the opening of a faucet, that the stream from above was now open, and it didn't stop. Meaning Hanukkah was an opening point. If we were to term Hanukkah, there's a Medrash, the Gra quotes, that in a nutshell, a kid is out in the... His father's very upset at him, and he sends him out to the forest, and he's all alone, and it's raining, and he doesn't know what he's going to do, and he's crying there all alone. Then he figures he's going to have to make things work. And as he's trying to make things work, it's raining, so he makes himself a little hot. And then there's a flash of lightning. When there's a flash of lightning, he sees far, far in the distance, he sees the king's men. So he thinks, let me go to them. He runs in that direction, and when he gets there, they're gone. So he figures it must have been my imagination. But then, sometime later, again, he's going through the forest, and he takes a look, and suddenly he sees the king's men very far away, but they're there. And after a few times that this happens, he realizes, the king put me in this forest, but he's keeping an eye on me. I'm not all alone. I'm not going to die. At the end of the day, I'm going to make it. That's the Jewish people. We've been banished to the forest. We've been punished. We had all these years of exile. The Purim and the Hanukkah are those shining moments where Hashem says, just pay attention, I'm not leaving you completely. I'm going to make you go through this as a people, but I'm still with you. That's why Hanukkah was important before the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. It was a reminder we were supposed to take with us. It was also, according to Rav Chalap, it was an opening for a continuation of Hashgacha Pratit, an opening of miracles that would still happen to us. And, says Rav Chalap, Hanukkah is the connector between the second Beit HaMikdash and the third Beit HaMikdash. Because Hanukkah is the theme, the idea that Hashem is with us, even when we're dealing with enemies, even when Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, even at those times Hashem is with us, and that's the nes that's supposed to hold us until the building of the third Beit HaMikdash. At that point, there will be open revelation of how Hashem is watching over us. So that's the second point Rav Chalap made, the idea that Hanukkah is when we take a step forward and say, it's not just about doing what I have to, I'm going to do as much as I can because I'm interested in doing this. And so Hanukkah is Pirsumei Nisa, we're advertising this idea that we want to do as much as possible, and that Hashem is still with us, as Hashem has done for us in the story of Hanukkah. Hashem is involved and cares and is willing to do miracles, and the miracles are what reveals on what we don't see the rest of the time, the hand of Hashem that's guiding the Jewish people even in the time of exile. So our advancement in showing our love is part of what we're advertising. We're also advertising the recognition that Hashem is still connected to us, if not in an overt way, in a covert way, but the duality in the relationship continues.